We are keenly aware of the fact that the Thanksgiving holiday is upon us. We've been reminded lately. Many of us looking forward to it, the Thanksgiving Day, and that it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. Some people look at Thanksgiving and think, well, that's the time I can be together with family. Other times people look at it and say, well, there's a lot of football on TV. And then, of course, there's always the food. I always look forward to that aspect of it. But perhaps this is why some say Thanksgiving is a season of perspective. People look at it different ways and for different reasons. We've sung songs today about Thanksgiving or giving thanks. But we can look at the benefits of Thanksgiving, as we will do so this morning, and see from these if we have a proper perspective, as well as if we are thankful enough and are grateful to the proper source for all of our blessings. Our text this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. We had part of this read during part of our scripture reading this morning. But it reads, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. I want to look at a wonderful, familiar lesson from an event in the life of Christ. We find it in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This lesson is regarding being thankful. Many of us are familiar with it. It's oftentimes used to show that so few are thankful, whereas the many receive the blessings. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Then he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. How many times have you read that particular passage and said, well, that's just the way it goes. One will turn and give thanks. But there are some things about this particular passage that I think that we should note. Notice the directive that the Lord gave them. He said unto them, when they asked for mercy, he said, go and show yourselves unto the priests. Do you know that only the 9 could go and show themselves to the priest? The one was a Samaritan. He was not included among those who could go and present themselves to the priest as the law directed. And Jesus was following the law under which he lived, because it was in the law, if any had a spot or a rising or a place, and it was thought to be leprous, they were to take it and go show the priest. And if the priest determined that it was not leprosy, then they would be pronounced clean. They were told to wash their clothes. No doubt, Jesus had the power to cleanse. He had the power to cleanse all of them. But the direction, go show yourself to the priest, were just to those Jews. And then one noticed that he had been cleansed, and he glorified God with a loud voice, giving thanks to God. And he turned and he fell at Jesus' feet and bowed before him. Only this stranger saw the benefit of giving thanks. The one who turned back was a Samaritan. And in spite of being a Samaritan and being condemned by the Jews, he turns to this Jew, Jesus Christ, and he gives him thanks. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 92 and verse 1. We'll notice that the giving of thanks was also taught previous to the time of Christ. During the time of the Old Testament law, the psalmist was directed by the Spirit in this location to write, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." Today, many people fail to realize and understand the source of blessings, material and spiritual. The psalmist knew from whom these things came. The psalmist knew that it was a good thing, and the Spirit had him write it and record it so that we would have it. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 shows that this is also taught in the New Testament age. In all dispensation, this expression of gratitude was and now is to be directed to God. Every time we express our gratitude for the things that God has provided, we are to direct it to Him. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You oftentimes wonder why it is that things are worded the way they are worded within the New Testament. This particular passage is one of those times. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. And notice, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were going to talk this evening about the Holy Spirit. We will find out this evening that the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus Christ is God. But specifically, it tells us there, our gratitude is to be expressed unto God the Father. And in the New Testament, such gratitude in prayer is to be done by the authority of Christ. We were reminded this morning in our Bible class, one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples following his resurrection from the dead was that all power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has the authority. And so our opportunity to pray unto God, to give thanks unto Him, is by the authority of Jesus Christ. And only those who are authorized to pray will have their prayers recognized. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 also shows that all of our pursuits, including prayer, are to be done in accordance with the authority of Christ. And as we do them, we are to thank God for the opportunity. Have you ever listened to your own prayers? Kind of hard to do. I've done this once, and what I found out was that I need a lot of work on my prayers. I actually turned on a recorder at the advice of someone, because they asked me this question: have you ever listened to yourself pray? I had to answer, no, I guess I haven't. Do yourself a favor, turn on a recorder and pray. Not thinking about the fact that a recorder's on, you're not praying to the recorder, you're praying to God. But then go back and listen to the things that you have said and what you have asked for and the expressions that you use. And you'll realize and understand that there is so much that we never express gratitude for. I think we like to encapsulate things, don't we? God, we thank thee for all things. That covers it, doesn't it? It makes the prayer short, too. Doesn't mean that we're supposed to pray long, flowery, flowing prayers. But this passage teaches us that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It is through Jesus Christ that we have all of these blessings in life. And because of these things, we are granted the opportunity to express our gratitude to God. And many of the things that we do that we take for granted, we never give thanks for. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it. But our prayers to God, our expression of gratitude to God, according to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, must be ongoing. I liken this to the story of the old man who said, "I've been married 55 years. I told my wife that I loved her the day we got married. Nothing's changed. Don't need to tell her anymore." This passage tells us continue in prayer. That means that we are to continue going to God to express our gratitude, just like we are to continue to express our adoration for people here on this earth. But as we continue in prayer, an ongoing thing. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Part of listening to our prayers is realizing the needs that we have. I listened to my own prayer, like I said, that one time, and I realized that I had it a bit out of balance. And it should be out of balance, but not the way that I had it. The way that I had it in my prayers was that God was to bless me and bless me and bless me and give me and provide me, and a mention about being thankful. It should be the other way around. We should be grateful to God for every opportunity that we have, for every ability that we have that we can develop, and the opportunity to develop that ability, and to use it in service to Him. And yes, for all that He has blessed us with. While we pray, and as we are giving thanks, we see that we are reminded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 to remain happy. Communing with God, being grateful. This is the will of God for all who live Christian lives. That passage is very clear. Rejoice evermore. Should we not be happy? Do we not have that for which we should be happy? I've said it time and time again. Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. Why? Because they have something that the world does not have. They have the promise of eternal life. We've not received that eternal life yet, but we have the promise of it. Therefore, we should rejoice evermore. But also, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Do you realize and understand that prayer is communication with God? That's one of the benefits of Thanksgiving. When we are in communication, we are closer. Every one of us knows someone that we knew in high school or college or on a job type situation. A relationship that we had that we were close. And that closeness remains when we continue to communicate. Stop and think about a family member. Can you think of a family member that you have that you've not communicated with? I'll guarantee you, you're not as close to them now as you are if you communicate with them daily or even weekly. The same thing is true. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to remain in communication with God. Stop and think about it. He remains in communication with us. He's provided us His Word. All we have to do is open the pages of the inspired Word and read it. And God is thereby communicating with us. But it is our responsibility to initiate a communication back to God. And that is done through prayer. And then in that prayer, in verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything? What about the tough times? What about the bad times? I'm reminded of a song. I think Dottie Rambo wrote it. I'm thankful for the valley that I walked through today. Why would we be thankful for the tough times? But it makes you stronger. It also makes you realize and understand upon whom you can lean. We are to be thankful in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But giving thanks improves our perspective about every important aspect of life. I've already mentioned this, but Psalms 100 is a very short five-verse psalm, but it tells us about our dependence upon God. That is the most important aspect of life. For that, we should be very thankful. The Spirit had the psalmist begin that psalm, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In other words, rejoice evermore. And then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We should be joyous that we can come before the presence of God. And people say, well, you know, I'm happy that we have services on Sunday. No, that's not what it's talking about. Come before His presence. Do you realize that when we commune with God in prayer, we are in the presence of God? Know ye the Lord, that He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It is important that we realize and understand that even in the New Testament, we're told he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Our relationship with God and our dependence upon God is the most important thing in our lives. We have benefit, and we should be thankful for it. Our soul depends upon it. Giving thanks improves our perspective about our need for others. You know, sometimes I think we fall prey to the idea that we don't really need people as much as we think we do. Try considering or try entering into a situation in which that person is not able to do the things that they once did, when that person perhaps might not even be there anymore. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we see that we're not to elevate ourselves above our fellow man. We can't increase ourselves by the things of this life. The things of this life are for this life only. That passage speaks about humility, keeping ourselves aware of the fact that we are the same as other people and that we need each other. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 is another passage that points out that each is to be available to help one another. The Christians there in the church at Rome were told, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. If we're thankful for each other, if we're thankful for the many blessings that God has, it will help us improve our perspective about our need for each other. And giving thanks helps us with our humility. I think some have a great need in this department. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, we find a passage that's often misquoted, but it also shows that humility is very important. Most people take it and chop this verse up and only use part of it. How many times have you heard, pride goeth before a fall? I've heard people say, the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Yes, it does, but it says more than that. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit and pride are the same thing. And it will bring about destruction to our souls. The benefits of thanksgiving is giving thanks helps us as we count our material blessings. We sang that song today. I think it was pointed out recently that we can't do that. We can't really count our blessings. Can we count that high? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. We may be able to name some of those blessings, but we can't count all of our blessings. They are too innumerable. God has blessed us with all things that we have. In Psalms chapter 40 and verse 5, the psalmist is directed to write words to this end. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. But we can give thanks for these blessings. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, we are to give thanks, and it will help us to understand that these material blessings are simply that, material. They're not going to last. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What is he telling us to do? When we give thanks, it helps us as we combat covetousness. There's nothing wrong, as you turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 13 and following, nothing wrong with wanting. There's nothing wrong with having desire to have. Matter of fact, I think that's part of what God has endowed us with, the desire to better ourselves, the desire to build for ourselves, the desire to make for ourselves. using the things that he has given us and the abilities that he's given us. But if we're thankful, we're less likely to be covetous. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's Luke chapter 12 and verse 14, I believe it is. And in verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no more room where I shall bestow all my fruits and my goods? I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If we combat covetousness, if we realize and understand that the things of this life are simply that, the things of this life, the material goods of this life, then perhaps we will turn our eyes upon God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 10. Or 6 through 10. The Apostle Paul was directed to write this to the young preacher Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, that's something for which we should be thankful. Verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich and fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then, so that we understand that covetousness is not something that God would want us to participate in. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted, after they have erred from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If we are thankful, it will help us as we attack anxiety. It's interesting that these are placed this way in this sermon, because many people are anxious about what they might be able to get, what they might be able to attain, what material goods that they can store up while here on this earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we know that the promises of God are sure. Therefore, we have no cause to be anxious. That passage tells us God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, we must answer that call. And if we set our hearts and minds on this, we will not have time for anxiety. Perhaps that's why in Philippians chapter 6, or chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, we see that the Apostle Paul was directed to write to the congregation in Philippi, be careful for nothing. Some translations say, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Giving thanks improves our perspective about God the giver. Stop and think about it. Who gives most? God or us? In James chapter 1 and verse 17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that is good that this world has ever seen came from God. He's provided everything that we need. He gives to all life and breath and all things. But our gratitude is to go beyond that which is physical. What is our perspective about that which is spiritual? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses in Ephesians chapter 1. How often do we express our gratitude and give thanks for the spiritual blessings? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 13 speak of these spiritual blessings and how we can access them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then in verse 13, we see the how we can access. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're going to see at the conclusion of the sermon how that is to occur. To the church at Rome, we see that Paul expressed gratitude. He benefited from being grateful. These people also benefited. But Paul was directed to write, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, again, we see a message of gratitude. We see one of the benefits of thanksgiving, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's one of the benefits of thanksgiving. Not the season, but the benefit of expressing our gratitude to God and doing so regularly as children of God, because it reminds us that we've received the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All should be grateful to God to the point of doing what He commands us to do. And that means every day. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see the directive to Christians. This particular group was told, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want to stop right there. If indeed we understand this and we have done this, we should be thankful. We should realize the benefit that God has provided for us and be grateful for it. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do you want to be thankful? Someone once said, in order to be thankful, you have to have something to be thankful for. On the surface, you think, that's a pitiful statement, but if you think about it, how true and prolific it is. We may look out on our lives and realize the difficulty of them at times and think we have nothing for which to be thankful. Therefore, there would be no benefit in giving thanks. But what if you're a child of God? If you are a child of God, and everything else in this life goes pear-shaped, as they say, or sideways, or down the tubes, or whatever expression you want to put with it. If you're a child of God and the rest of this life is miserable, you still have something for which to be thankful. And that is that you are a child of God, that you have the promise of eternal life. But you have to do this. You have to start. You have to start by obeying the gospel, and then you'll have so much more for which to be thankful in this life. How does one do this? One hears the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." One must also believe, as Hebrews 11:6 points out, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We must also repent of our sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And one must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's exactly what Simon Peter did in Matthew 16 and verse 16. Jesus asked him the question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And one must be baptized into Christ Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." A person then becomes a child of God, and they have everything to be thankful for. But you know, it's also possible that one who has become a child of God, who've allowed sin to enter and reign within their lives, they can also be thankful. Because part of the commandment of how to become a child of God includes remaining faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." But what if you've not done that? You still have opportunity, and for that you should be thankful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, we see the instruction for those who are in a good relationship with God relative to those who are erring Christians. "In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, as God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And then verse 26 tells us the responsibility of the erring Christian, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How? Through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." You know, there's more joy in heaven for one who returns to God. There's more joy here on earth for those who are faithful, to those who return to serve Him. You may not think that you have any reason to give thanks this morning. You may not think that there's any benefit of thanksgiving. But know that there is a benefit, and you can have everything to be grateful for this morning. Every soul needs a Savior. That Savior has been provided. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?